Have you ever had one of those dreams? I mean, one of those kind of dreams where you wake up and your heart is like, racing and you're in a sweat. It was a few years ago that I had one of those dreams. I, was in my dream going out to check our van, get something in the van in the middle of the night, and I saw someone breaking into my neighbor's house. And so, I'm taking off after him and I'm running, and then I see he's got something, and so then I'm running the other way. And anyway, I wake up with tugging on my arm. Buddy, what are you dreaming about? Anyway, I had felt like I had run a 100-yard dash and was in a sweat. So I got up in the middle of the night, and I thought, man, I've got to unwind for a few minutes. So I went and flipped on the TV. And it was a rerun of Home Improvement. And so I'm watching a rerun of Home Improvement. And on this show, Randy, the middle son, is dealing with some issues and struggling with death and some of those kinds of things. And really, through this time, begins to share some questions about God and church and, quote, what he calls organized religion. And he basically comes out and says, I don't need to go to church and I don't need anything with organized religion. And Tim, his dad, Tim Allen, Tim the Tool Man, says, no, you've got to go to church. And his wife then says, well, every time you go to church, you just sleep. And then he sums it up this way. He says, you go to church, you get credit. You fall asleep, you lose credit. You understand the sermon, you get extra credit. And here's his summary. If you get enough credits, you can bypass hell and upgrade right to heaven. And that's the basic thought of many. That for them, back to the basics and a New Year's resolution would mean, look, I've got to go back and do a bunch of good things in order to earn my way to heaven, in order to get enough credits. I know that I did a few bad things in 2015, but I was nice to my family. I, gave some money at the end of the year to help a hurting family at Christmas, or I donated to the Red Cross during a time of difficulty, and they think, if I can just get enough credits, then I can earn my way to heaven. Back to the basics, I want us to look and see, what does the Bible say about our spiritual life and our spiritual walk, and what do we really need to know as we go through our spiritual journey here upon earth? Is it about my good outweighing my bad? Is it about doing enough good things to offset the things that I've done wrong? Or is it about something more than that? Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to think on this theme for the next couple of weeks on back to the basics. And today really is that introduction on our spiritual walk and our spiritual life and how that is supposed to look. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verse number 6. Colossians 2, 6 says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And with that, let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would take our time together and, Father, help us to see the spiritual need that we have and help us to walk the spiritual walk that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have finished 2007 and bolted into 2015 and bolted into 2016. 2007, that must have been when I watched that show. I had that written down. I am way behind the times. My kids sometimes think I'm behind the times, but that's a little far even for me. As we finish 2015, step into 2016, we find that there's often this desire to do better. to exercise more and to eat better and to save more and to read more and to be nicer and to spend more time with our family. And we think of all of these things that we work to do better. They're New Year's type resolutions. But oftentimes we don't really think about our spiritual life. How's my spiritual life doing? And what are some of the things, not necessarily that I need to do better to earn favor from God, but some of the things that I need to work on in my spiritual life to grow deeper and to walk closer to the Lord? As we think about our spiritual life, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he's writing to a church that is dealing with some heretical teaching, some false teaching that is going on in this day, and it's called a sense of Gnosticism, where it says the material things are all bad and only the spiritual things are good, and our bodies are bad and only things of the spirit are good, and it goes on, and it's a kind of a confusing mess of who Jesus really is and whether he was really in the flesh. All of these kinds of things start to come up. And so Paul says, look, we need to really go back to some of the basic things that we understand. And so in Colossians chapter 1, he affirms who Jesus is with the deity of Christ, that he is before all things, that all things were made through him. And as he comes to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, he says, look, I've taught you and talked to you. And so now that you've received Christ as the Lord, I want you to walk in him. And I want you to be rooted, and I want you to be built up in him and established in the faith. The things that I have taught you, I want you to settle in on as you walk your spiritual life. And I want you to do that with a sense of thanksgiving. This year we've laid out some challenges for us, and we're going to talk more about those over the next couple of weeks as we think about getting back to the basics. But reading through the New Testament this year, I pray that at least this week you've read through Matthew chapter 1 through 5 and that you've spent some time thinking in God's Word. Some of you may already have a Bible plan that you're on and you're reading, you know, chapters in Genesis and different places as you begin the year, and that's wonderful, good, and fine. I want to encourage you, if you are not on a plan, if you can spend 30 minutes today, you can catch up, read all of Matthew 1 through 5, and then spend, listen, just 10 to 15 minutes a day reading one chapter in Scripture, and you'll read through 5 days a week, and you'll read through the New Testament. I really want to challenge you to be reading your Bible. And just look at my own life as I was thinking on Matthew 1 this week. And Matthew 1:21, his name's going to be called Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. And Matthew 1:23, his name is Emmanuel. And I just really thought about that. You know, Jesus is more than just a Savior. He's someone who walks with me every day. What a privilege I have. And just to meditate on something I already, quote, technically know, but to just bask in the absolute glory of the fact that the God who loved me enough to save me from sin walks with me every day through every circumstance and situation in life. It is awesome and mind-blowing. And as I wrote some things just in my journal, Lord, that you're with me, how wonderful, how awesome it truly is. So we want to challenge you to read your Bible. We want to challenge you to write your testimony out this year. I'm going to give a couple more, some more details on that in a couple of weeks. So you don't have to do it yet, and the pressure's not on yet. A couple of folks have already turned theirs in for extra credit. They got it in early. So anyway, but between a couple of weeks from now in January, around the 24th-ish, and Easter, I'm going to ask you to write out your salvation testimony. Why do we do that? Because it's important. We want to share that. We want your children and your grandchildren to be able to have a written copy of how the Lord worked in your life and how he saved you. I can think nothing of nothing that is more important. Listen, you might leave your kids a boatload of money, and if you do, that's fantastic and wonderful. But how much more important is it to share with them the fact that I have a home in heaven, and that I'm going to be with Jesus, and you can have that assurance in your life as well. There's nothing more valuable than that. As Paul is writing to this church in Colossae, he's writing to them and saying, look, man, I want you just to get back to the basic things in your spiritual life and your spiritual walk. And I think that challenge stands for us today. So I want us to think of three basic challenges from this passage that if you have not and are not involved in, then I pray that today your heart will just be stirred as we, you know, continue on. We're just a few days into 2016. First off, that is, we need to receive Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, receive Christ. Paul makes that the utmost aspect of importance. It's not receiving credits. It's not making sure that my good outweighs my bad or doing enough good things. He said, I'm not giving you the church at Colossae. I'm not giving you a perfect attendance pin. I'm not giving you a medal of honor for giving to the church. But instead, my heartbeat for you is that you would receive Christ. That it wouldn't be about working and earning. It wouldn't be about performance, but it would be about a person whose name is Jesus. So that receiving Christ means that I receive Christ and the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is laid out by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So the picture is that Christ died for sins. We can't earn forgiveness of sins on a by credit basis. It's not that we incur a debt and we can slowly, by doing good things, pay that debt off. If you are trusting church attendance, giving good works, or doing anything in order to earn heaven, listen, you are going to fall fantastically short. So he says receiving Christ means to receive Christ and the message of the gospel. But it also means receiving Christ as Lord. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Receiving him as Lord, when I share Christ with boys and girls and they come to my office and I visit with them from time to time and we talk about receiving Jesus as Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. You understand that there's a punishment that you deserve because you broke God's rules and now Jesus has paid that punishment by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. But receiving him as Lord means this, that he is going to be the one that you follow throughout your life. When your teacher, I ask him, when your teacher is out at recess and it's time to go in and she blows a whistle or he raises a hand, what are you supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to come line up. That's exactly right. You're supposed to line up. When your teacher says it's time to line up for lunch, what are you supposed to do? We're supposed to go line up. Listen, when Jesus speaks to us, it is not just a get out of hell free card. He says, look, I want you to follow me and submit to me as Lord, and you are the one who takes the role of submission. Now, receiving Jesus as Lord recognizes his deity. We understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is fully God, fully man, but it also recognizes his authority, that he now has the right over our life to call the shots. He is our leader. We receive Christ. If you have not come to that place in your life where you know that you have personally received Jesus Christ in your life, today I would ask you to make that decision. I would say, look, you know that there's been some time in your life you thought something, said something, or done something that displeased God. And because of that, you are disqualified from a perfect heaven with a perfect God. But Jesus came and died on the cross for your sin, and he rose again, and now you have to receive him. It's interesting that this is the only time in Scripture that the word receiving is used in the sense of the object as a person. Paul talks about receiving the word, receiving the gospel, receiving his teaching. But here specifically, he says we have to receive a person. Not just a matter of doing, not just a matter of hearing, but ultimately saying, Jesus, I embrace you and you alone as the only way of salvation. That's what receiving Christ means. I embrace him alone as the one who is God, as the one who provides forgiveness and eternal life, and as the one who has come to save me from my sin. I receive him. Receive Christ. Second thing that we have to do in this passage is that we have to walk in Christ. Notice what he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That we are to walk. It is a journey. It's a picture of a journey. I stopped into Ken Carricker Sunday School class for a couple minutes this morning, and there are a bunch of January anniversaries, and he had pictures that kind of flashed on his PowerPoint before the class started of different people in their Sunday school class who have anniversaries in January. And 30 or 40 years ago, some of these folks began a journey together, that they were going to walk together as husband and wife, and through thick and through thin, through good times and through bad times, through the mountains and through the valleys, they have walked together. That we see here, as we have walked in Him, how are we to do that? He gives two pictures. First off, we are to be rooted like a tree. Notice, He says that you are to be rooted. We are to walk in Him rooted. That is a picture from agriculture, that we are to have a firm root system that has a foundation in Christ. And then He moves from architecture to construction, that we are to be rooted and we are to be built up. There's that picture from the land of building. We are to be built up like a building. Now understand that as a building gets taller, that foundation has to be stronger. That as a building grows in its magnitude, or it grows, listen, in its influence, it must have a strong foundational system. And just the same for us. As we walk in Him, we are to be rooted like a tree, and we are to be built on the foundation of Christ like a building that is firmly secure in Him. The picture's there. But secondly, we see a picture of the permanence there, that we are to be rooted and built up in Him. And then notice what it says, that we are to be established in the faith, or in our faith. So the permanence is that we are to be established. And there's an interesting Greek wordplay that happens here, where it talks about being established in the faith. Now, the picture of walking in Him, walking in Christ, is a picture of action. It's something we're to be doing. We're to be walking with Him. And as we walk with Him, we're to be rooted. We're to be built up. But then something in the Greek happens. And the Greek tense moves from active to passive. Now, notice, where he talks about being established in the faith, that is in the passive voice in the Greek, which means this. It's not something we do. It's something God does. So that as I walk with Him, He establishes me. Understand that. That is absolutely essential to understand. The permanence and our security and our stronghold of faith is built on us walking in Him and then Him establishing us. Have you ever watched people who are believers and you think, I don't know how they ever walked through that? Maybe it was a physical challenge. Maybe there was a horrific death. Maybe there was a financial overwhelming situation that came into their life, and you watch them walk through that and you thought, wow, how did they ever do that? Let me tell you how they do it. You walk in the faith, rooted and built up, and He establishes you. He sets your feet firm. Listen, that ought to bring a sense of joy in your life that says this: no matter what happens in my life, as I walk with Him, He is going to establish me. He is going to keep me rooted and grounded in the faith, because that's His business. I'm established. The pictures, the permanence. But then let's think about the process of walking. What does it mean to walk with the Lord? Well, I want to give you four thoughts on what that means quickly, and we're going to have to slide through them. But understand, throughout Scripture, we get this picture of walking, especially in the book of Ephesians. If you look in Ephesians 4 through 6, you find Paul constantly and consistently saying, you're to walk this way, you're to walk this way, you're to walk. And that, or some of the newer translations might be translated live. And the same picture is there. We're to walk, or we are to live this way. But how do I walk with Christ? First off, I walk in intimacy through communicating in the Word and prayer. I walk in intimacy through the Word and prayer. That I spend time with the Lord every day. Just as if you are going to have a close personal relationship, you're going to spend time talking and listening. We need to be people who desire an intimate relationship with the Lord so much that we take time to get into the Word and let Him speak to us, and let Him, through the person and power of the Spirit, speak to us, and then we allow that time when we lay our requests before Him and we speak with Him. We walk in intimacy. Secondly, we walk in harmony to His will. We walk in harmony to His will. That's obedience. How do I walk with the Lord? I walk in an obedient fashion. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 2 asks the question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can you walk with someone who's going north while you're going south? No, absolutely not. Can you walk with someone while you're going east and they're going west? Absolutely not. If you ever see me in Walmart and I am pushing a cart, I will tell you I am walking in harmony of my wife's will. First off, I don't really want to be there to begin with. Second off, she stops a lot of places I wouldn't normally stop if I had a mission to pick things up. So if you see me pushing a cart in Walmart, understand she has a plan and a will and a list of things that we need for our household, and I am just pushing the cart in harmony. Now, there are some days when we have disharmony in Walmart, and I go to electronics or sports. All right, so if you see me walking around by myself in Walmart, 99% of the time it is not for me. 99% of the time Julie is there, but we're just having a little alone time. The picture in our life is this. Sometimes God calls us to walk in harmony, listen, and to go places that we wouldn't necessarily go on our own, and to stop by places that we wouldn't necessarily want to stop. But in order to walk with Him, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The answer, no matter what, is yes. That's the picture. I walk in harmony. I just say yes. It's not the route I would have taken for myself. It's not what I would have done. But Lord, I want to walk with You. And that's what He says. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Thirdly, we walk in security by His promises. That because He establishes us, Romans 8, 38, 39, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. John 10, 27, we know that through 30, we know that no one can pluck us out of His hand. So that when we walk and follow Him, we understand that He is going to establish us and He is going to secure us, not only for life, but for eternity. So I walk with this sense of security. God, I'm following Your will, and I understand that You hold me in Your hand, that You are establishing my faith, and Lord, You have a place in heaven for me, so that no matter what happens and where this trip leads, ultimately it's going to lead right to Your throne, right before You. I'm walking with a sense of security. And then fourthly, I walk in unity with the family, the church, the body of Christ. I walk in unity together. And that's a challenge for us. Look back in Colossians chapter 1 for just a minute and look with me in verse number 3 and following. Because notice how many times the word "you" is used in the plural. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's you plural. That's you all. That's us. That's a family. Notice, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which your heart before in the word of the gospel. Listen, it's you, it's you, it's you. And you go throughout this book, and we find that the picture is on a you that is plural. It deals with the church. There is this sense of unity. Paul says, man, I give thanks for all of you. And listen, we may not agree on everything. All of us have different preferences when it comes to colors and when it comes to decor and maybe when it comes to music and teaching styles and preaching styles and all of those kinds of things. But you can be in unity while you don't necessarily agree on everything. It says this, that I'm willing to submit to the harmony of God's will, no matter what that is, and to support and sacrifice myself to keep unity in the body. Isn't it amazing that Jesus would pray in John 17? His final prayer before going to the cross would be, Father, that they may be one. Walk in unity with his family. Let me just say, I am so thankful for this church family. I am thankful for the unity that is here, for the harmony and the joy. I tell you, when I'm not here, and even when I take a Sunday off just to get refreshed or to see family and do those kinds of things, I miss this place. There's no place that I would rather be in the whole wide world than preaching right here. This is where God's called me, and this is where we stand together as a united family, serving and making a difference here and throughout the world. There's a sense of unity with that. Let me just say, 2015 was a great year. Thank you for the prayers and the encouragement and the support. And as we, brought on some staff and finished Kids City and Kids Country, and we saw Awana go up over 100 clubbers, and we're seeing growth in these areas and in our Bible study. We are excited about what God has for us, but understand if the devil would get in and attack, he would cause disharmony within the family, so that the Lord, even in the book of Proverbs, would say that one of the things that he hates is one who sows discord among the brethren. We are a family and we are a body. Now, I come from a large family. There were 7 kids. My brother passed away, so there are 6 of us. And we're all married and we all have kids. And can I tell you, when our family gets together, agreeing on a perfect time and a perfect place and everything going perfect, it just doesn't happen. But we understand the love that we share, even if you're inconvenienced, even if you're late or have to leave early. It's more important that we get to be together with a sense of unity and harmony for this time, because God has placed us as part of a family. And that extends to us as a church family as well. We think about that process that the Lord would have us to walk in. Man, how are we to walk? I want to walk and be... Man, I want to come to the end of 2016 and be closer to Jesus than I was at the end of 2015. I do. And I want to be right where He wants me to be. And I pray that it's here. I ask God just to allow me to be here. I want to stand on His promises. And I want to walk in unity with our church together and make a difference and show the world that Jesus makes a difference. But notice again in this verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7, we're to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. But notice that last phrase. This may have been the most convicting of all to me. Just where I am personally. He says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That as I take this walk, I am to remain thankful. I'm to remain thankful. You know what Paul often does in Scripture? Is he equates spiritual faith and spiritual depth with gratitude. And so let's just be honest with each other. If your spiritual faith and your spiritual depth is measured on how grateful you are, what does your gratitude really say about how deep your faith and deep your walk with Christ really is? This convicted me. Because sometimes when I don't get my way, it's easy for me to break Philippians 2:14, where Paul says to do everything without complaining. I'll do it if I'm supposed to do it, but I don't always do it with that sense of gratitude. But we are to be abounding with thanksgiving. The word abounding We've watched it illustrated. It means overflowing. It's a word picture of a river flowing out of its banks. Have we seen this recently? Have we seen the power and the influence of destruction that a river flowing out of its banks brings? Have we seen the widespread influence that a river flowing out of its banks brings? Yes, we have seen it from the destruction end of it. As the Mississippi and Merrimack have flowed out of their banks, even closing off major highways. It's amazing to think, good night, 44 and 55 and 70 are closed. I had a friend who was at City Museum. He lives in Arnold. Should have took him 30 minutes to get home the night that the 55 flooded. It took him more than 5 hours. But here, the picture of overflowing and abounding is a picture of our thankfulness overflowing and abounding. So that it is not bringing destruction, but edification. So that it's bringing such a grateful heart and spirit to the table that it is going to overflow and edify and influence all those around us. Could you imagine if St. Charles, First Baptist St. Charles would say, we are determined this year to be people who overflow with a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. And no matter if I'm at work or in my neighborhood or I'm on vacation or wherever I am going to have a positive spirit before the Lord, and I am going to be grateful to God and live by faith no matter what, and I'm going to give thanks in everything. How would that affect people that we visit and see at the hospital, or when we go, or at our job, or in our neighborhood, or in our community? What if this year we said, look, we want to be people who just get back to what God wants us to do, that we're going to be sure of our salvation, receiving Christ, that we're going to walk with Him, but we are going to overflow our community with a sense of gratitude and say, Lord, thank You, and thanks in everything You say to give thanks. And so, Lord, by faith, I know I can do that. Maybe that's why this was so convicting to me. If someone would describe your life, they might say, committed, good person, knows the Bible, all those kinds of things. But would they say, he's grateful? He demonstrates faith and spiritual depth by having a heart of gratitude. Now notice how Paul plays this out in the book of Colossians. Take your Bibles and look with me in the book of Colossians real quick. Let's run these verses real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's thankful for His church family, this church family. He's thankful for them, for believers. Notice over in chapter 1 in verse number 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's thankful for His salvation. Listen, no matter what, no matter what's going on in my life, I can be thankful that God has me in His hands, that He has given me and promised me an inheritance in heaven, that I am secure in Him. I can remain thankful for that. Notice over in chapter 2 in verse number 7, that as I walk and I'm rooted and built up and established in the faith and the things that I've been taught, I can abound in it with thanksgiving. Notice over in chapter 3, because this is where it really starts getting convicting. Notice Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. If the peace of God is ruling in my heart, I will be thankful. You know what happens when I'm not thankful? Normally in my life, Buddy is trying to rule his own heart. And Buddy's not happy with the Buddy kingdom because something and my kingdom didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and so I'm going to complain and gripe about it instead of being thankful for it. Notice verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word grace there, singing with grace, that's the word gratitude. So that as Christ, as the peace of God rules in my heart, and I'm thankful, I'm going to sing and be thankful. Notice then in verse number 17, because this is where it really gets convicting and lays it out. And whatever you do. I couldn't say this and sign off on this and say, I'm a good example of this. Whatever you do. Moms, if you're changing diapers. Or dads, if you're changing diapers, maybe more so than moms who are changing diapers. Or if there's something broke around the house. Whatever you do, if I'm teaching or I'm working, I'm visiting, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Everything I do, I'm supposed to do with thanksgiving. And the Lord ate my lunch on that this week. And I pray He does yours too. Because we need to be people who not just say, oh yeah, we know God's word, and hey, we show up at church. But we are God's people who show the depth of faith in our life by the gratitude of our singing in grace, in everything we do, in our prayer, and in our walk. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus gives a story of 10 lepers who are healed. You remember how many come back to say, thank you, Jesus? One. I wonder today, how many of us would be like that one? Oh, we might be in a hurry to go tell everybody about, you know, what the Lord did, and see our family and hug necks because we haven't been able to do that. But I wonder, would we take the time to say thank you to Him? And would we take the time to overflow with thankfulness and let that spill out on others? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? You've had three challenges today. First, if you've not received Jesus as your Savior, I want to challenge you today. That's life's most important decision. Would you say yes to Him? You've been challenged to walk with Him. Are you walking with Him? You communicating and talking with the Lord? Is there a step of obedience that you need to take in harmony to His will? Maybe that's following the Lord in baptism because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's something that God's speaking to you about and you need to repent of and turn. And He's speaking to you today, and today's your day. He said, look, I have been patient and I have been merciful and I have been kind, but today my finger is in your chest and I'm poking and saying, today you need to get it right. Maybe today the Lord's saying, look, you need to stay in harmony to my will and join in unity of this family and say yes to Jesus. Would you say yes to Him? And then for all of us who say we're believers, are we overflowing like a Mississippi River or a Merrimack River with thanksgiving? Not just on that Thursday in November, but every day. Is that part of our life? I pray that'll be part of my life. I really need that to be part of my life more. And I really want it to be part of my life more. And I understand that I'm going to have to walk in Him more closely and trust Him more deeply. But if God's speaking to you and you're going through a fire today and He's saying, look, you need to lift this to me and abound in your trial with thanksgiving. Abound in your walk with thanksgiving. He's speaking to you. Would you say yes to Him? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that You call us to a task that's impossible in our own flesh. But you provide all that we need pertaining to our life and godliness. And so I pray that we would be people who walk with you and abound with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus, so that the world can know and see a difference in our heart and life, and that you can receive the glory and honor ultimately that you deserve for the many good gifts and the precious gift of Jesus. Lord, if there's decisions that need to be made today, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would say yes. In your name, amen.